I want to take this opportunity to welcome all of you to this afternoon session. It's going to be a time, a refreshing time before the Lord. Most of you have joined from your homes, your offices, but trust me, God is going to refresh our spirit. This afternoon, I want to share with you something about a very popular man in scripture, but we don't really have a lot about him. He is one man that I have come to admire so far in scripture, because whatever happened to him gives me an experience that it can happen to any man. Then every time you see somebody experiencing a certain dimension that you desire, understand that whatever they are experiencing is a picture of your preferred future. So if you can capture the picture of your preferred future, then you can venture into that future without a fracture. Now, our main scripture is taken from Genesis chapter 5, verse 22. Genesis chapter 5, verse 22. In fact, let's read from verse 21 and 22. For the purposes of emphasis, we read from verse 21. I read from the NIV. I read, "When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. After he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived a total of 365 years. Enoch walked faithfully with God. Then he was no more, because God took him away." Now, I am sharing with you three keys to walking with the Spirit. This is a subtopic I've generated from the main one, which is stoking the fire. I want to share with you these three keys if you want to really walk with the Spirit. Now, Enoch was 65 years when he gave birth to Methuselah. And we all know that Methuselah is the oldest man ever lived on the surface of this planet Earth. And Enoch walked faithfully with God for 300 years. So, after he had given birth to Methuselah, he started walking with God faithfully. So the first 65 years of his life, he was not walking with God faithfully. But the Bible says that after he had become the father of Methuselah, then he started walking with God faithfully. So one of the things I have learned here is that whatever is your past, let it be your past. So for some of you, for the past 65 years of your life, maybe you have made certain mistakes, you have gone through certain things in life, but I'm here to tell you that the remaining 300 years of your life, it is going to be a fruitful walk with God. So even if you have wasted years, I want you to understand that the future is bright. Now, Enoch walked with God, and he was no more. Other versions says, "For he was not, for God took him away." So Enoch did not die. But you see, he gave birth to something that lived very long. I want you to catch this. Enoch walked with God after he had given birth to Methuselah. So after he had given birth, he decided to walk with God and walk with God and walk with God. And that thing that came out of his loins, that product he gave birth to, lived and was sustained and survived on this earth for long time, for a long time. So this is to tell you that when you walk with God, what comes out of you can survive the test of time. When you walk with God, the product you give birth to, the services you give birth to, can survive the test of time. It can survive the trials of our days. So, if a man walks with God, look at his fruit. If a man walks with God, look at his seed. If a man walks with God, look at his proofs. Look at the life. You realize that the life is made up of testimonies. Methuselah lived very long. Why? He was a product of the man who walked with God. So if you are here under the sound of my voice, if I were you, I would make up my mind that right from this afternoon, I am going to increase my walk with God, because out of you will come forth good things. When a man walks with God, good things come out of him. When a man walks with God, favor comes out of him. When a man walks with God, longevity comes out of him. When a man walks with God, survival, sustainability comes out of him. I am praying that God will raise men and women here who are going to walk with God without giving up. Sometimes people give up so easily. When they pray that God should give them a marriage and the marriage never comes, they give up on God and say they will not walk with God anymore. Sometimes when people want the fruit of the womb and it's not coming, I know it is not easy. I know it's not easy because sometimes society will give you pressure. Sometimes even your own parents will give you names. People will call you names and all of that. And sometimes even we pastors, sometimes we even give the pressure more, because we go to church and we say those who are barren should come forward. Those who, and sometimes it's like we indirectly, we are even giving you a certain title or identity, that you belong to a group called the barren. And all of these things put psychological pressures on you. And as a result of some of these things, you realize that you feel like giving up. You don't want to work with God, because if God is alive, why would he allow certain things to delay and certain things to happen in your life? But you see, don't give up. Don't give up. In case you have not gotten what you need to get, don't give up. For the 65 years of Enoch's life, the first 65, he did not have any product to show. He did not have any product to show. But immediately he started working with God. What came out of him was something that was a testimony to the whole world. To date, we still mention Methuselah as the only person who have lived longest on this earth. But I do not want to go into Methuselah's life this afternoon. I'm here to just talk about Enoch. I'm just here to just talk about Enoch. And I'm praying that he was dedicated to God. He was, you know, experiencing God in a deeper realm. Now, according to John chapter 4, verse 24, we know that God is spirit. God is spirit. And those who worship God must worship God in spirit and in truth. For those are the ones that the Father is looking for. So if God is spirit and you are walking with God, you cannot walk with God if you are walking in the flesh. You see, walking with God means you are walking with the spirit. So when we say Enoch walked with God, what we mean is that Enoch walked with the spirit. So we are going to learn the three keys to walking with the spirit, or to walking with God. That is what I'm here to do today. And I believe that these keys will propel you and increase your height in God. All right. Now, the first key is called the key of hunger and thirst. The key of hunger and thirst. The key of hunger and thirst. Remember, Jesus said that anyone that is thirsty, John chapter 7, verse number 37. When you read that scripture, Jesus said that anyone that is thirsty, he said that he shouted on a loud voice, let him come to me and drink. John chapter 7, verse 37 downwards. Jesus said, anyone that is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And when you read the Bible, it says that whoever lives in me, as scripture has said, out of the belly will flow rivers of living water. And it is not just that. What marvels me, the big one, as our chairman will say, the big one is the verse 39. He says that by this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given. So Jesus had not been glorified. So when Jesus was saying, come and drink, those who were thirsty, come and drink, he said that the drink he was talking about the Holy Spirit. So it means that if God is Spirit and the drink was referring to the Spirit, then what it means is that you can drink God. You can drink God. You can drink from God. And you can actually dine God. You can eat. You can literally feed on God. You can literally feed on God. So, many people are not hungry and thirsty in our generation. Many people are not hungry and thirsty for God. They want miracles, but they are not hungry and thirsty for God. They want to see the signs and wonders of God, but they are not ready for the God of the signs and the God of wonders. You see, in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 7, the Bible says that to the hungry man, every bitter thing is sweet. To the hungry man, every bitter thing is sweet. So when people are not hungry, what it means is that they are already, you know, enjoying everything that they want to enjoy. They are not ready. They are full. You see, when people are not hungry, it means that they are full. You see, and this is just logical. When you are not hungry, it means you are full. But when you go hungry, it means you are emptying yourself. It means you are empty. There is something in you that is just empty. And you just need verse 1, Psalm 42, when you read from verse number 1 going. The Bible says that David made this, you know, he just gave this psalm. The son of Korah, he said, as the deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants for you, oh my God. My soul thirsts for God. My soul thirsts for the living God. He didn't say my soul thirsts for miracles or my soul thirsts for a marriage. My soul thirsts for scholarship to study. He said my soul thirsts for God. And the verse 1 said, my soul pants for you, my God. My soul is yearning for you. These days, people have their soul yearning for side chicks. These days, people have their souls yearning for side chicks. People have their souls yearning for money. People have their souls yearning and thirsting for many, many things. I don't know some of the things you can mention, but in Ghana, in Africa, in the world today, the way things are going, people are thirsty for all kinds of things. You see a man that is married, but he's thirsty for another man's wife. You see a young girl who is thirsty for another girl. What madness is that? People are thirsty and hungry for all kinds of things. And these days, people are no more thirsty and hungry for God. Even when they go to church, they are not going to church because they are hungry and thirsty for God. They are going to church because they have seen some fine gentlemen. Hey, I remember, let me tell you a story. When I was a Pensa president in the year 2012, thereabout, I remember there was this young lady that came to church. And one day, this lady was like a sister to me. So after church, she came to me and said, Ima, can I tell you something? I thank God for your life. Because you have to be praying, oh, because when we were in church in Pensa, I heard some ladies chatting behind. They were sitting in front of me, so they did not hear that. They didn't know that I was listening to what they were saying, and the ladies were saying that Hey, as for this Spencer President, he's the reason why I come to church. When I come and he holds the microphone and he's talking, then I get some chills on my body. Hey. My God. So these days, people go to church, they are not even hungry for God. They are hungry for the pastor. They are hungry for all kinds. Somebody have seen some nice dickness. They are hungry for her. People are hungry for all kinds of things. But you see, let us shift our focus. If you really want to see God in your life, and you really want to see this fire we always speak about, then you must redirect your hunger. All right? Redirect your hunger and your thirst. It is when a man redirects his hunger and thirst, that is when he begins to experience what he redirected himself to. In other words, if you reposition your hunger and your thirst for God, then you will now experience what you reposition your hunger to. So anything you position your hunger to, you experience it. If you position your hunger to lust, you will see lust. If you reposition your hunger and thirst for God, you will experience God. Now, one of the things that made Enoch walk with God was that Enoch was hungry and thirsty for God. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 26. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 26. Now, listen to me. This is one of my favorite scriptures which inspires me all the time. Can I read that to you? Proverbs chapter number 16. I'm reading from the verse number 26, Proverbs 16, 20. I read from the NIV. Now listen to this word. Listen to this word. We'll begin to pray very soon. The Bible said, the appetite of laborers works for them. Their hunger drives them on. I repeat, the appetite of laborers work for them. Their hunger drives them on. So when we see a laborer working, the laborers are not working with their labor. Laborers work with their appetite. Let me put it again. He says that their hunger drives them on. In other words, when a laborer is working, a laborer does not work with his labor. A laborer works with his hunger. A laborer works with his thirst. What makes a person edge on or drive, what drives you on in life is your hunger. So hunger and thirst is the driver of destiny. Hunger and thirst is the driver of destiny. When you don't have hunger and thirst, you are always stagnant in life. When you see a laborer working very hard, they are not working with their labor. What makes them work is the hunger and the thirst that they have. That is what drives them on. This is one of my favorite scriptures. So anytime I realize that things are not going very strong, I decide to check my hunger level. When you realize that you are not praying enough, you are not doing your quiet time and all that, then check your hunger level. Maybe your hunger is directed at other things. I will not talk much on that. I want to give you an assignment. When we are done, take time to reflect and meditate on this portion of scripture we just read. Now, the key number two to working with God is the key of dying. Die. Nobody wants to die in life. Nobody wants to die in life. But one of the keys to working with God is to die. Die to the flesh. Because God is spirit. The Bible says that those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. He says that to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, in John chapter 12, verse 24, he said, very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat or a seed of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. So, people of God, what will make one seed produce many seeds is in the key of dying. Anytime you die, you live. Anytime you die, you live. The way to live is to die. The way to live is to die. Unfortunately, people don't want to die, and that is why they are properly dying. So if you don't want to die, you will die.
But if you decide to die, you will live. When Jesus died, the Bible said the devil thought that killing, crucifying Jesus was and putting an end to him. He didn't know that when what he was doing was rather giving him a name that is above every name. When Jesus died, he produced many sons of God. Anytime a seed of wheat falls to the ground and it dies, the seed starts producing many seeds. So one of the secrets, if you want to walk with God, die to the flesh. Die to your selfish ambitions. Die to your appetites. Die to the things that takes your attention. Some of us, what is killing us is that we are not able to die to our football teams, die to television programs, die to WhatsApp, Facebook. And because of these things, we are not able to walk with God. If you want to walk with God, make up your mind that you die to the flesh, die to sexual passions, die to pride, die to the lust of the eyes. These things are the things that will help you to walk with God. Number three is the third key is the key of intimacy. Intimacy. So I've talked about hunger and thirst. I've talked about dying. And the last thing is intimacy. Anybody that wants to walk with God must understand that if you want to walk with God, then you must be intimate with God. Enoch was intimate with God. Enoch was always walking with God. They were together. And because they were together, they were always, Enoch was always hearing God. And God was ministering. That is why God took Enoch away. They were so close. They were too intimate. In fact, the intimacy level was more than what was beyond a married man and then a married woman. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 10. The Bible says that 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 10 from the NIV, it said that these are the things God has revealed to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. Even the deep things of God. Do you know that? I don't know how many married men and women are here, but if you're a married man here, do you know that when you go to, with all humility, let me use our pastor as an example. If you're a married man and you go to your pastor, and your pastor says, for example, give me your suit, you can remove it easily. If he says, give me your flying tie, you can remove it easily. If he says, give me your belt, you can do it. But when the pastor says, remove your boxer shorts, it will be difficult for you to do it. In the same way, if a married woman goes to, let's say, Sofu Mame, and he says that, give me this, give me that, it sometimes it will be difficult. You see, the things that are very deep around you, you cannot give it to somebody you don't have a personal covenant with. But when it comes to your own husband or your own husband or wife can just take the things that are very deep, the secret things that nobody have access to. They can easily have access to them because you are intimate. The people you are not intimate with, you cannot share deep things with them. You cannot share secret things with them. That is how God works with prophets. Anybody who wants to hear the voice of God or become prophetic, you must become intimate with God. And when I say intimacy, I am talking about having a consistent personal devotion. You wake up what we call the quiet time. It is too powerful, but people don't see the power in personal devotion. These days, people don't see the power in quiet time. But if you want to be intimate and walk with God and be intimate, you must build a certain consistent time where you spend time with God, because you spend time with God and you are romancing God through prayer and you are talking to God through prayer and God is also talking to you back. As you are doing all these things, you realize that God will now be revealing deep things to you. And that is why when you read 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 9 and 10, he says, what eyes have not seen, what ear has not heard, what even the heart has not perceived. These are the things God has prepared for those who love him. Those who love God are those who are intimate with God. And if you want to see the things I have not seen and experience what the ears have not heard and those kind of things, then you must be intimate with God. You must be a God lover. God lovers have access to the deep things of God. God lovers have access to the secret things of God. God lovers experience God. God lovers are intimate with God. God lovers walk with God. And the Bible says in verse 10 that these things that God revealed to us, they are revealed to us by the Spirit. Even the deep things of God, God will reveal them to you because you are a God lover. This afternoon, wherever you are, I have just shared with you three keys to walking with God. The key of hunger and thirst, the key of dying, and the key of intimacy. At this point, we are lifting a prayer and we are telling God that God, create in me a hunger. You know, the funny thing is that sometimes we tell God that we need God, but we tell God that we should be hungry and thirsty for God. But sometimes God himself have to even help us to even be hungry. So we want to pray and say, God, create in me a hunger. Let my hunger drive me to seek after you. We need to become God chasers. We need to become God lovers. You see, so don't pray for the anointing if you don't want God. If you don't want God, why are you looking for the anointing of God? So you are praying that God, create in me a hunger and a thirst. Cause me to die to the flesh. Cause me to die to the self. And God, make me more intimate with you.